Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you here today in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as you can tell, my message is called, Why Do I Keep Doing That? And I hope it's I think the reason that I really want to share this message with you today is because it's something that not only that I have struggled with, but I know that many of us struggle with. And I was very blessed to not only come here and share my message today, but to just the hospitality and the fellowship that I've been able to have with those of you that I've met before, or that I met at the fair, has been wonderful. And actually, I should tell you that I use a tablet when I preach, and I'm stalling for time as I'm trying to log into it, because apparently it didn't save my document. So I'm trying to sound very professional while I'm getting to this point. But I did want to thank everyone that has made this such a wonderful trip. My wife and I have been very, very blessed. So thank each and every one of you for that. And thank Pastor Mike and Gretchen for just making us feel, well, like family. And my wife and I woke up this morning, and one of the things that we were saying to each other was, we really don't want to go home because we've liked it here so much. And now that I've got this loaded, our message today, if you will please stand with me as we read in Jesus' name, comes from Romans chapter 7 through chapter 8, verse 2. Reading in Jesus' name. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. You can tell I'm a real professional, can't you? For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then I myself serve the law of God within my mind. But with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have come to hear your message today, make the words that come from my mouth be your words. Help us to understand this message. Open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say. Father, if it is necessary, push me completely out of the way and use the Holy Spirit for us to hear your words. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that today we see your Son, we see Jesus. For that is what we came to see. Father, help us to take this message, take the words that are yours, write them upon our hearts. Go from here and share them with others. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now I have to explain a little bit about my youth. I grew up in the suburbs of Denver, Colorado. And for the most part, I didn't do a lot of construction or working or, you know, building stuff. And so years ago when my parents asked me to help them build an addition onto their house, it was something that I had never done before. I'd never really done any sort of construction. You know, I'd thrown trash for the city, but, you know, that isn't really building anything. That's just throwing a bag into the back of a truck. So to do this sort of work was something that I had never done before. And I thought that I was actually doing fairly well. I thought I was doing pretty good. Admittedly, you know, when we were doing some of the framing, there were a couple of times I'd hit a nail and I'd have to pull it back out. But, you know, for the most part, I thought I was doing pretty good. And what I really mean by that is when I was really young, if you gave me a hammer and a nail, I'd hit everything but the nail. and so, you know, I had a bit of confidence now. I was a little bit older. I was more in control of my body. And when I would nail in a nail, it would go in. So I thought I was doing pretty good. However, that was shattered all to pieces when we went to go put on the roof of this addition. When we began the roofing process, I realized something was vastly different because, see, roofing nails and framing nails are two very different animals. A framing nail is, you know, almost 4 inches long, and a roofing nail is only about an inch and a half long. So, you know, if you're paying attention when you're hitting with a framing nail, you know, even if you miss, it's probably not that big of a deal. Chances are you're getting your hand out of the way when you go to swing. But with those really little nails, those 1.5 inches, and my big old fat fingers, when I was holding the nail, my fingers were right up against the head of the nail. And so I learned an interesting lesson when we were putting on the shingles, because I watched my stepfather and his friend. You know, I wanted to learn how they did it. And I'd watch these two, and they'd just go tink, tink, boom, tink, tink, boom. And I'd just, right down the line. And I thought, I can do this. The first couple of nails, you know, was tink, tink, boom, I got it. Tink, tink, boom. And then tink, tink, ow! That was my thumb. And I thought, okay, okay, take it easy. You know, the next one went in okay. And then tink, tink, ow! That was my forefinger. And it was like every third or fourth nail, whammo, I just hit another finger. At the end of the day, my poor fingers were so bruised, I had to hold an ice pack on them all night long. It just was terrible. And it was driving me crazy. I mean, I knew the right thing to do. You hit the nail on the head. You don't hit your fingers. But no matter how hard I tried, over and over again, I would hit one or both fingers. And I just wanted to scream, why do I keep doing that? Today, as we look at our passage and as we go through this message, I think we'll see that the Lord may have something to say about that question. And there are often times in my life where I look back on it and I can see the things that I've done in my mind's eye, and I look upon many of the things that I've done with deep regret. I mean, out of the entirety of my life, I've made so many mistakes, and I've hurt people that were close to me and people that I probably didn't even know. And they're all because of some mistake that I've made, something that I've done wrong. And the sad part is when I look back over them, I realize how many of those are repeats. How many of those are the same thing over and over again? I mean, these are mistakes that I've made, and I sit here and I wonder to myself, what was I thinking? I mean, I knew better. I knew that what I was doing was wrong. And yet I did it anyway. I'm sure many of us can look back on our lives with those same sort of thoughts, those same sort of struggles. You know, in our passage today, we hear Paul voice the same thing. In verse 15, he says, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." As I read this, I can hear my own struggle there. I mean, you can hear Paul struggling with this. Paul appears to be saying what we ourselves often struggle with. Why do we do this stuff? Why do we do the things that we don't want to do? I mean, we understand, don't we, that what we're doing is wrong? And yet, daily, we do them over and over again. You know, it reminds me yesterday, actually, of yesterday when we were playing with the kids. over here at the parsonage. I don't know how many times my son kept coming out of the parsonage, and we would turn to him, close the door. Every time he'd run out, he left it open. You know, you look at your kids sometimes, and they're doing something that they themselves know is clearly wrong. And you ask them, why did you do that? And you can see it in their eyes. They look at you, and they say, I don't know. You know, many times I've shaken my own head at my son when I've asked him that. Why are you doing that? And he says, I don't know. You know, in an instance like this, I just think, why did you do it, kid? I mean, because in a way I understand, you know, he's still learning. But then there's also that part of me that doesn't understand, because why'd you do it in the first place? And then I think back to a passage like this or things in my life like this. We understand that we're doing something wrong, and yet we don't understand why we keep doing it. How often has that happened to you? How often have you looked at something you've done and just said, why did I do that? You know, I only meant to borrow that pen from work, and yet somehow it found its way into my junk drawer. And as we read further in our passage, in verse 17, Paul says, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Do you ever have that struggle? I mean, I know that there are times that I do where I can feel my sin calling me to do something that I know is wrong. And it almost feels irresistible. It almost feels like I have to do that thing that I don't want to do, that thing that I hate to do. And I know it's wrong. I know it's sinful. And then I do it. And it hurts me. Or it hurts someone I care about. And it frustrates me. Makes me angry because I'm still a sinner. And the part that hurts and it makes it even worse is there's this voice in my head that says, shouldn't you be past all this? You call yourself a Christian. You say that you follow the Son of God. Why are you still doing the things that you have to keep going back to God and asking for forgiveness for? Paul tells us, he says, the problem is that we still have sin. We're still sinners. And we can say to ourselves, why is that? I mean, Christ died to save us from our sin. So why do I still do it? Why do I still keep going back to that? Why do we still live in sin? And Paul addresses that even here in our passage. He says that it's in our flesh. Verses 21 through 23, he states it this way. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. So the reason we still sin is that it's in our flesh. It's in that part of us that's still part of this world. Whew, that's a relief, isn't it? I mean, I thought the problem was me. But it's just this flesh of mine. It's just this stuff that's clinging to my bones. That's my problem. It's just the part that's still attached to the world. And that makes it all right, right? I mean, if that's the case, then when I sin, well, shoot, it's not really my fault. It's just my body doing it. You know, it's because I live in this world and it's sinful and that makes my flesh sinful, so it's really not my fault. You know, every time I hear the words, it's not my fault, it reminds me of a scene from Empire Strikes Back when Han Solo's on the Millennium Falcon and he's trying to get it to go into hyperspace. And every time he tries to fix something else breaks and he goes, "It's not my fault." But the reality is that it is his fault. You know, he says he's fixed it, but he hasn't really fixed it. I mean, if he had done what was right, it wouldn't be broken, right? And so it is his fault. He tries to blame everything else except himself. That's a trap we like to fall into, isn't it? We try to take the blame away and blame it on something else. Well, it's not really me, it's just my flesh. It's not really me, it's somebody else. It was caused because somebody else did this. James 1, verse 13, I think, says very well where our sin really comes from. It says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed." We can try and blame our flesh, but really that flesh, that call from our flesh, is our own evil desire. We can't blame anyone else for it. And nowhere does Paul say that, "Well, it's not me, it's something else." He doesn't pass the buck and say, you know, "Well, I'm right, and it's just my flesh that's sinning." Paul talks about the struggle that he's having, because he knows that it's still him. In verses 24 and 25, you can really hear it when he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." See, he knows that it's his sin. He acknowledges that he himself is warring over himself. But it's still him. The whole person is Paul, and the sin is his. Now, I like the way the Nelson Study Bible put it. It says, "The conflict here indicates that there is a battle between the two identities in the believer. First, there is something that acknowledges that the law is good. Second, there is something within called sin which produces evil." So we, like Paul, we're wretched people who are still sinners. And what can we do now? I mean, if we're still sinners and we can't just blame it on somebody else, we're kind of stuck, aren't we? There's no one else that we can blame it on. We have to accept it, and there's no way we can save ourselves. We just keep doing the same things over and over again, digging ourselves deeper. But wait a second. Now, when I was reading those last couple of verses, didn't Paul say something? "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, why would he reference that? Well, now, we look at the first two verses of our last part of our passage. In chapter 8, the first two verses of chapter 8. And I love what it says here. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." There's no condemnation. I'm set free from sin and death, but I thought I was a sinner. And then I couldn't do anything to place the blame on anyone else. And I can't. I have to accept that blame, but there's one who is willing to take my punishment. One who did take the punishment that I deserve. So it's wrong that I don't have anything that I can do, because there is one that I can go to. See, Christ, he took my sin and he placed it on himself. And not just my sin, but the whole world's sins. And not just our past sins. No, it's not one of those things where it happened this time and everything beyond it is gone. He took our past sins and he took our present sins. And yes, even the sins that we have yet to commit. And admittedly, it's our sin. We have to acknowledge that. But I love the way 1 John 1:9 explains it to us. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's all unrighteousness. Then, now, and forward. And when I was putting that roof on my parents' house and I kept banging my fingers with the hammer, it hurt a lot. And I kept asking myself, why do you keep doing that? The answer, I'm not very good at roofing. But if we ask ourselves, why do we keep sinning? And if we're honest with ourselves, the answer should be, I'm not very good at being good. But here's the beauty of it. See, I kept putting up those shingles even though I kept banging my thumb until the job was done. Because had I not, the roof that we were putting on my parents' house would have fallen apart. It wouldn't have had the protection that it needed from the snow and the ice and the rain. And it would have fallen apart. That was the protection that the roof needed. The roof was covered. We keep sinning. But we keep moving forward, looking towards Christ. Because Christ is our protection. Christ is our roof. Christ is what covers us. And we may war within ourselves over our flesh and our mind, over right and wrong, over good and evil, back and forth. But the war, it's already been won. And if we seek that protection, if we seek his covering, there is no condemnation when Christ is your roof. Because out of his love, he has freed you from the destruction that is caused by sin. He has covered you in a grace that is so abounding that it sets us all free. The grace that comes only from God and only from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that no matter how many times I bump my thumb or trip on this world, no matter how many times I have sinned, you say I forgive you. That you have provided me with a grace, provided all of us, this whole world, with the opportunity for a grace that sets us free from the sins that we continue to commit. Lord, help us to take the message that you have here today. Write it upon our hearts. Go from here and share it with others so, Lord, that they may come under your roof, that they may seek to have and be covered by you, Christ. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.